Welcome to Ray and Tay today.
Mira mami, ven acá aquí. Come over here and dance with me. I see your body look so heavenly. Baby girl, you're delicious to me. Bala papa boy, part of me. I'm the type that's right and my game is tight. And I see baby girl, you're looking alright. So what you got?
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show in this frigid temperature on the East Coast, Super Bowl week. You're listening and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tom Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, T-shirt and shorts, 77 degrees in Scottsdale.
Oh, don't even talk to me.
I'm sorry, but you know what? Give us a call. Join the adventure because Eric Taylor is hyped up. Ray and Tate today is here. It's Super Bowl Media Day, and we got sports for you. 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails. Start sending in your predictions if you're ready, or wait to Friday's show for the Super Bowl at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website. We've got a little taste. It shows you about our preview show, looking kind of slick, at rayandtaytoday.com. AP Top 25, a lot of different things, NBA standings. We'll all get into it. Like always, at Twitter, you know, you hit us up at Ray and Tay Today. We love talking to you. And like us on Facebook. Ray, let them know, man. How does this Media Day break down for Ray and Tay Today? Because we are the media.
Yes, we are media. We finally need to go down there and get our credentials. Now, they were very smart in having Media Day indoors, because if they were to have this outdoors, it would be quick, fast. People would be like, one question, and that's it.
And I'm out, homie.
But no, right. But
8,000 people were there, though. $28 a pop. Fans, 8,000 fans were there. That's impressive. Prudential Center,
impressive.
Right?
Impressive. I hope that they hope they give that money to charity or something, because you know the NFL just makes money hand over fist. Give it out to some local charities or something. But let's talk about what we're gonna get into on this episode of Ray and Tay. So we'll talk about breaking news, which is essentially the media day, and a couple other things going on in the world of sports. We'll get into some of the NFL signings that happened the last few days while we were not on the air. We'll talk a little bit about the game lead up, and we'll have our big preview show, obviously, on Friday. We have an ex-NFL player, George Reister, joining us on Friday. And then we'll transition to the hoops. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk Kevin Durant. We'll talk a little bit better basketball here in the New York metro area. Your Phoenix Suns aren't doing too bad either out there in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then for the last segment of the show, we'll talk NCAA hoops, because like Seth Davis says, and we're trying to get him back on our show, as soon as the Super Bowl ends, guess what, sports fans? It's basketball time. You can go with pro or college or both, but football is done until the combine and the draft, and even baseball, pitchers and catchers report in a few weeks, but that doesn't start for another 2 months, so it's all about hoops starting on Monday or Tuesday
and
after we
exciting.
Talk about the Super Bowl. Oh,
yeah,
very exciting.
It's a great time of the year. So, listen, right off the bat, I'm going to let you talk about your Cowboys, but I do like what the Ravens have done. Gary Kubiak, ex-player, ex-coach of the Texans, is now the OC of the Baltimore Ravens, replacing Caldwell, who went to the Detroit Lions. He's bringing over his OC to be the quarterback coach. The Ravens are making some moves, you know, because, hey, they are the former Super Bowl champs, or the Super Bowl champs if someone wins on Sunday, and they didn't make the playoffs, so they got to get back there. And then the Cowboys got a new OC or a new play caller. He is the OC. Tell us what's going on in Dallas with all your confusion.
Oh, my God. So
it's crazy.
Scott Linehan was hired to be the play caller.
And he's coming from Detroit, right?
Which in and of itself doesn't sound that bad, right? Scott Linehan, play caller. Okay. But when you add that to the fact that Jason Garrett was the boy genius play caller, not 4 or 5 years ago, and then you brought in another offensive coordinator who then was calling plays, Bill Callahan. So It's like basketball, right? There's only one ball. So there's only one play call. Who is the man on that offense, right? What does that mean for Bill Callahan? What does that mean for
I guess
for
he
Jason
just sticks
Garrett?
With offensive line. Yeah.
So is that a demotion?
You'd have to ask him behind closed doors, right?
Putting it out there. So
I wish you
well. The problem was on defense this year, though. I mean, a little bit was on offensive decision-making, but for the most part, the offense was okay. It was really the defense. But anyway, we got quite a few months to talk about what Dallas is going to do on offense next year.
Or on defense. Oh, man. Well, let's talk about the Super Bowl. Let's talk about Media Day. Obviously, you could even mention, you know, obviously Team Rice beat Team Sanders in the Pro Bowl. They had a lot of fun. Tolbert gets the two-point conversion. You know, you saw Nick Foles get the offensive MVP. Yeah, a little fun to the game, a little excitement. I thought it was a little entertaining getting ready for the Grammys, watching a little bit of it. Anything exciting to you that stood out? Obviously, you know Jimmy Graham is fighting this like your boy Jared Cook, but he had no legs to stand on. Jimmy Graham does not want the franchise tag as a free agent from the Saints and also wants to be a wide receiver, labeled as a wide receiver, which he pretty much is. Any thoughts about that game? And
we tweeted about that because the difference last year, if you use the 2013 numbers, is $6 million if you're a tight end, $10.5 million if you're a wide receiver. So just what position you are, you would think you're just a football player, but no, in this age of franchise tag, that's a $4.5 million difference. That's a big deal. So it might come down to a Breeze situation where they franchise him or they threaten to franchise him and then they sign him and they negotiate. But this guy is really – the first half of the year, I could have made an argument for him for offensive MVP. I mean, obviously Peyton was just Peyton. But other than Peyton, this guy was really unstoppable. Now, he had a couple games where he was shut down. But when he's on, this guy's unbelievable, Jimmy Graham.
No, I agree. I definitely agree.
The one thing I will say about the Pro Bowl, though, is – two things stood out.
A little bit better
one,
than last year.
It was playing each other, I thought was weird, but fun to some degree.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't like, though, about Rice and Sanders, not about those two, I mean, they're Hall of Famers, they're fantastic, is that, like, the team kind of doesn't make sense. You know, it's a pickup game of all-stars, so I don't really know how to associate it with it. So I actually still like, maybe I'm old school, but I still like AFC, NFC, or something that logically groups the teams together. Because, you know, this team was like, well, is my favorite player on Team Rice or on Team Sanders? And then if I'm a Kansas City Chief and I see, you know, my defensive player tackling my offensive player,
yeah, Derek
I'm thinking,
Johnson
that's
got
a little
MVP.
Weird. That's a little weird.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Johnson played great, and he almost took out Charles.
Oh, Charles. Yeah.
But luckily, nothing happened. But you know what's so funny? Man, I'm thinking to myself, what am I rooting for on that play?
Right. But you know what's so funny? Like, I got a – Mike Francesa on Yes Network was talking about it, and, you know, WFAN, and he just hates the game no matter what, never watches it or whatever. And I think, you know, I think it's fun for kids. My 14-year-old, Elijah, he likes it, enjoys it. And so I think as you get older, you realize you don't care and the players aren't playing all out. But for the younger fans – they actually do like it, and it is fascinating to them, and I think the new format was even fascinating. And my son even commented on how guys were playing against each other. I thought it was weird with the sort of the take or the stealing of, like, the Oregon-looking jerseys. But, you know, it's no big deal. And I think it's great for the community of Hawaii, the fans and the families get to go over there. And after a rough NFL season, these guys deserve it. If you play so great that you deserve to make a Pro Bowl, let's keep it for everyone that wins in it. And it's really about the young kids. It's not about the media types or the old veteran guys who've been watching NFL for years. I think it's for the kids and the players and the families and all that. So I got no beef with it. So talking about Media Day, and today was Media Day in the NFL. No craziness. I thought it was fascinating. Richard Sherman, it looked like he had more people than Peyton Manning there. Handled everything well, apologized again, and then Deion, you know, goes up and sort of steals people with the NFL Network. He's got that juice to do that and, you know, sort of, you know, re-apologize and said it was wrong to, you know, sort of disrespect a man like that. And, you know, but I think overall you got to see how well-spoken, articulate, and intelligent the guy is. And I think overall you got to see both teams are filled with good football guys. I'm happy for guys like Marshawn Lynch, who the people were like, oh, he left and snubbed Media Day. It's like, no, he didn't. He left and then came back. He spoke to Deion. He spoke to some people, and I actually thought his interview with Deion was fascinating and was great. And he's, you know, he's just not, you know, not really big into talking. But when he did talk, he was actually kind of funny. He had pretty good charisma. I thought it was really interesting. And I like Russell Wilson. So, I mean, for me, you know, Media Day, it is what it is. Some of the questions are just, they're too silly for me. You know what I mean? The non-football questions. So, but.
Well, that's always been the case. I mean, I guess 15, 20 years ago it started, and it just has gone out of control.
Bananas.
Like your boy Knighton talking about Snickers. He likes Snickers as long as they don't throw them at him.
Yeah, Big Pot Roast. That's the nickname
Pot
for the Broncos guy. You know what's great, though? This guy really turned himself into a player. He was over, like, 360. He lost the weight, you know, really got into football shape to, you know, play and start for them and really be a factor. So those are fascinating stories, and you give guys credit. You know, and you like to hear about that. And you know, it's also fascinating to, you know, see or hear different players, you know, whether it's Bobby Wagner or Bruce Irving or you know, I guess Wes Welker. I love Wes Welker said, listen, I'll go one-on-one with anybody in the slot, to, you know, referring to Richard Sherman or anybody. And, you know, Deion was talking to him. He's like, you know, I love me some Wes Welker. You know, and these guys have personalities and charisma. You know, Peyton Manning talking about, you know, everybody wants me to sign their jerseys, like they want me to retire. I don't think – what do you think? You think if Peyton wins, you think he's done? I don't think he's ready to give it up yet if he's still healthy.
I don't think so. I think that Peyton is in a unique position that – you know, some people say ride off in the sunset, but if you think about the people who rode off into the sunset, you think of the last couple years were Ray Lewis and John Elway, and they really didn't have much more to give. But you can't tell me that if he passes that physical in March, that Peyton Manning, off a 55-touchdown season and just short of 5,500 yards, can't come back and still be a six-time MVP. I mean, why not? He's one of the favorites to win MVP again. So that type of dude, other than Barry Sanders and a guy like Robert Smith, maybe he's not that level, but was elite in his game, and maybe a Jim Brown, you don't really remember players retiring at this point in their career. I mean, you almost have to have that one bad season or that one down season or that one – you know, injury plague season.
Injury, Manning.
I mean, as long as the doctors say it's okay, because he did come off the four neck surgeries, and so you never want that to be an issue. But other than that, I can't see him retiring after this season, even if he wins. I mean, riding off in the sunset, God, the guy's only 37. He's not 57.
Yeah. And the quarterback position, you know, I mean, guys haven't touched him in 2 weeks, and he gets rid of it so, you know, quick, like Dan Marino. Peyton Manning could literally play another 2 to 3 seasons. I thought it was fascinating. He said he hadn't met his niece Lucy yet, who was born right before training camp. So being in, you know, in the area, he's going to spend time with Eli and get to see his, you know, niece who was just born. That's kind of fascinating. It kind of shows you how engrossed
he didn't meet his niece?
The play. No, how much
they
these guys.
They played in Giant Stadium, though. That's so weird.
I know,
they played
but
in MetLife Stadium.
Here, they were, I guess it was that busy, you know? I mean, that tells you game planning and just how serious he takes it also. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of fascinating. I don't think we give these guys some of the credit in terms of to work at their craft, how much they work at it and how great they are, or not all of them, but, you know, in terms of the film study, someone like a Manning puts into it. I think it's pretty cool.
Can I just say, we talked about this a little bit off air, but this media day reminded me, it was sort of benign, this media day, but I remember the Seahawks 8 years ago in media day when your boy Joey Porter started talking about how if he was, if they met him in an alley, that they would walk in the other direction or they would run out of the alley. And he was trying to intimidate all the Seahawks, and specifically the tight end. I was just like, wow. As clownish as that was, think about how
who
memorable
was that tight end?
And
I'm
how
trying to
entertaining
remember.
It is.
Who was that tight end now?
Oh, for the Seahawks. Remember. Oh, God. What was his name?
Oh, God. Man. And he really never developed and had much of a career either. Joey Porter sort of shook him down. Shook
yeah,
daddy.
He got
shook
shook
daddy.
So, yeah, so that's the thing. That's the memorable. And remember, you know, you were saying Jerry Rice. And remember that war of words between the Broncos and the Falcons with Sharp, with Shannon
yeah,
Sharp?
Yeah, Shannon Sharp, yeah. Well, he's an all-time great talker, Hall of Famer. You know, what's so great is this is
Jeremy
just those,
Stevens.
You know,
that was his name.
Yeah,
the tight end
Jeremy
for Seattle, Jeremy
Stevens.
He was like, if we walk into an alley together, he's gonna go cross the street and run the other way because he's scared.
He did nothing in that game. Listen, the Seahawks had an opportunity to beat the Steelers. Some could say the refs helped them, but they still had chances on the field and they did not get it done. So, you know, Seahawks fans and Seahawk Nation, you know, Russell
the
Wilson.
The halfback option from Randall L. to the Super Bowl
yes.
MVP, Hines Ward, your boy.
Yeah, that's, I remember. And, you know, what
waiting
was great, too, you know what was great, too, is that, don't even talk about the bus, in Detroit, cold weather city, but, and we talk about this, that maybe if this is such a success that possibly if they decide to do it again and maybe now they're getting a break, it might be 38, 40, and kind of sunny kickoff, that maybe Washington, New England, or Chicago, I would think Washington, if anybody, because it might be 5 to 8 degrees warmer, might be able to get an outdoor Super Bowl. We'll see. You would think they might hook up Daniel Snyder, very, you know, prominent wealthy owner might be able to say, hey, in D.C., the nation's capital, we can entertain it, we can hold it, we can make it sexy, which, you know, Washington would be a good city to do it. You know, Chocolate City could definitely do it. But one thing about today, I thought it was fascinating. Russell Wilson, he was like, you know, I got my Bruno Mars, Michael Jackson hairstyle. He said he's not cutting it. He said that he went to Peyton Manning's, camp when he was younger and through there. And also, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson,
by the way,
they gave a shout-out.
You know how old we are? You know how old we are?
Oh,
let me just cut you off for just 1 second.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to Peyton Manning's camp in 2008. So we were talking about the Super Bowl was 2005 when your Steelers beat the Seattle. He was still in high school, Russell Wilson. So we're talking about just entering high school. So we're talking about he was at Peyton Manning's camp in 2008.
I don't even know if I remember 08, please. But, anyway, going to a little Grammy connection, Macklemore, they and Ryan Lewis, they got a rap album of the year, won like 4 awards. They're from Seattle. And so Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll were giving them shout-outs and, you know, in terms of like some entertainment stuff with the media. So, you know, look, it's all fun. This is the one thing that I mentioned to you off air that I thought was great, and this just sums up Media Day for me. My boy Marshawn Lynch, Beast Mode, he finally got an endorsement deal with Skittles. So I want to see that commercial. I don't know if it's going to be on Super Bowl Sunday, but whenever it is, I want to see it because that's awesome. I think this is the one guy that I can honestly see, you know, talking now more on the field. I can see Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, getting the MVP. Even though it's normally given to a quarterback, he's the one guy that has that opportunity. I could see him dropping, you know, 130, 140 in a touchdown and getting the MVP.
He'll go Timmy Smith style?
Gosh, Timmy Smith, that's a whole nother level, right? And never heard from again, but Timmy Smith got busy. And, you know, this is a game, if you look through all the years and the stats, not too many quarterbacks, especially winning quarterbacks, throw for 300 yards or more. But quarterbacks get MVPs a lot. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, could it easily, if, you know, Broncos win, Peyton gets it, or, you know, Seahawks win, Russell Wilson gets it. But this is, might be a game where it could be someone else besides a Manning,
you know,
or besides a Russell Wilson.
Would be if Timmy Smith or a running back, you know, a running back went Timmy Smith style and won it. So, like, if it was Marshawn Lynch or no Sean Moreno. But
yeah, who's from Jersey.
Even better if it was a defensive player. How great would that be? When was the last time, my Cowboys did it
Randy
against
White.
Your, yeah, Randy
yeah.
White in a losing effort.
And Larry
they got.
Brown.
But also Larry Brown as a defensive player. But it's rare. It's few and far between where you've got defensive players winning. So that's my thing
didn't
right
in
now.
Tampa,
all right, I'm putting it on record.
What,
that?
You got a – no, I'm saying didn't
no,
the guy in Tampa win when Tampa beat the Raiders?
Yes. The safety
yes,
for Tampa.
The corner.
He won it.
Yeah,
so, but I'm putting it on record. Whoever
okay.
wins, I hope a defensive player wins the MVP. Why not? Why not?
All right, well, you'll have to tell
us.
You'll have to tell us. You have to put your name on it. You'll have to tell us on Friday who that is when we make our predictions.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
George
but
Rice
I'm just saying,
on
somebody
and
on the defensive side of the ball, now it's more than likely not going to happen because, what, we have 47 Super Bowls up till now and maybe three or four of them have been won by defensive players, but I'm rooting for the defense.
It's been very
defensive
rare.
Defensive
yeah,
MVP.
It's fascinating. It's sort of surprising, but you know, the game is always about offense. And speaking of offense, let's Friday we will give you the preview and we'll break down everything. I think right now, you know, we're ready. We're like the players, ready to say we got our game face on. We're ready for some football, and it's going to be exciting. But I think we need to take a quick little break and talk about offense in the NBA because somebody is being extremely offensive. Ray and Tay, we'll be right back. NBA Talk.
We're back. And we're back to talk the National Basketball Association, which really should be named the National Kevin Durant Association because for the last month, this guy has been out of his mind, unbelievable, averaging 38 a game, 11 straight 30-point games, which puts him in a category with four other players in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And when Russell went down, he just took over. He went beast mode in basketball. So tell me what you think about Kevin Durant. And can a guy that's that good, can he even get better? I mean, can you argue that Kevin Durant, he's obviously scoring more, but do you think this helps the Thunder going into the playoffs when they get Russell
Look
Russell
at this.
Back?
Number one, right, I predicted him to be MVP this year. And he right now, without Westbrook, who's been in and out of the lineup, he's averaging 31, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists a game. That's ridiculous. At 6'10", a buck 80. You know what I mean? He's mad slender and skinny. He's giving you, it's actually 7.8 boards, but I will say round it off to 8 and 5 assists. He is doing it. And, you know, we mentioned it, and it's, you know, everybody's been talking about it. McGrady in, I think it was 03, was the last to do it over, you know, 35 a game or over 30 a game. He had 14 in a row, and Kobe had 16 in a row scoring that much. But right now, the way that Durant's playing, the buzzer beaters, the clutch, the triple-double 2 nights ago, you know, he kind of was like, okay, Melo, you want to do this and drop your 62, which, by the way, give Melo props, followed up with 35? 7 and 35, 4 and 5 on Sunday in the victory against the Lakers. We got to shout out Melo, who, you know, plays Boston tonight at the Garden. I mean, at the Madison Square Garden, hosts Boston. But Durant right now is in a place where OKC's got the number one seed, second best record in basketball. I guess you could say the best record in basketball. Have more losses than the Pacers, but two more wins. It's incredible. And I just I respect his game so much, and we always say it, LeBron, you know, what, third in scoring, 26, you know, like 6-6, could always get MVP. But this is really clearly, it's Durant's season. It's his time, you know.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we thought Paul George, and Paul George still has a very good shot at winning this, but MVPs typically go to an excellent offensive player on an excellent or very good team. And so Kevin Durant, especially with his sidekick Russell Westbrook going down, has really just run away from the pack. Now, he can come back if he has a bad month or two, or if Russell Westbrook comes back and they don't win as much, or you know, his scoring comes down to normal levels, because he's not going to average 38 a game for the rest of the season. But this guy is really, you know, in line for an MVP, too.
Don't say that. Watch your mouth. You don't know what he can do. That boy is
bad. You typically don't win MVP out of nowhere. You typically – the NBA is one of those leagues where you typically huff and puff and break down the door. You very rarely win a title on your first chance, and you very rarely win an MVP. So that's why I think that – Paul George.
Durant will get it.
He's
been knocking at the door, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like
Paul George
would have to be that much better than everybody else. The Pacers would have to have the best record in the league, and Paul George
and
would have to
And you
want to
see him do it more than 1 year. Last year he came on in the playoffs, had a good season, not a great season, but this year he's having a great season, but it's his first great season. This will be Durant's maybe, what, third or fourth great season. So that's exactly what you're talking about.
Scoring championship. He'll win the fourth scoring title this year. I mean, it looks like LeBron's the only one that can catch him. But he's just putting a distance, too big a distance in the scoring title. So this will be his fourth title. And you don't really give people a Lifetime Achievement Award, but it's one of those things where you're probably going to give him his MVP. Because look at a guy like Kobe. Kobe only has one MVP. So, you know, this is the thing where you look back
and
on the legacy
had,
of a
you know,
person.
Nash, I don't know if Nash deserved those two.
That was that. That
know.
Was Shaq's year. Shaq should have won the year Nash won. But, you know, and even Tim Duncan won one that people said should have been, you know, maybe shouldn't have been
Kobe's.
His. But, could have been Kobe's. But the point is that he's huffing and puffing and, you know, for years he's been the first or second best player in the league, so this might just be Kevin Durant's year.
Definitely. I got a question for you. Looking at the West, right, I think what's fascinating, you gave a shout-out to my sons, Gerald Green and Tucker, and Dragic went off last night, and, you know, they've been struggling. They were like, I think they've been like 7-7 without Bledsoe. They miss Eric Bledsoe, but they're still the seventh seed, you know, 26 wins, 18 losses. Very impressive, right? And then you got the Mavericks at the eighth seed. Right there with 26 wins, 20 losses. But I wanted to ask you about those two teams. Can the Suns and Mavericks hold on when you've got three teams that I think are going to definitely potentially make a strong push at them? Number one, Memphis, who's 22-20 and now is getting healthy with Gasol coming back. James Johnson's, you know, played well. Conley, you know, Randolph, you know, the whole gang, Tony Allen. So keep in mind Memphis. Then you look at Minnesota and also Denver. They both have 22 wins, obviously 22 losses for Minnesota and 21 for Denver. So do those three teams with 22 wins, do any of them crack the seventh or eighth spot, do you think, and make the playoffs when we clear the dust clears and settles in the West?
You know, it's so hard to predict this NBA. But I'll take a stab at it. Why not? We're about the halfway point in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So you got half of your season. The things to note in the Western Conference especially is the fact that Mark Gasol is healthier now. And the other health element is obviously Oklahoma City at the top of the conference, right? Oklahoma City's 36-10 without Westbrook. So if you focus on the bottom half of the playoff teams, so right now it's Phoenix and Dallas at 7-8, and then two and a half games back is, like you said, Memphis, Denver, Minnesota. I keep pulling for Minnesota to make the playoffs because I want to see Kevin Love in the playoffs. I don't want to see him be one of these stat stuffers, fantastic fantasy. Shout out to me because I have him on my fantasy team. But
yeah, finger rolls in first place.
I want to see him actually do meaningful work in the NBA. So to some degree, reminds
kind of
me
a knock on him
bit,
that he can't
totally,
get his team over the hump.
Yeah, totally different player, but almost like a Kevin Garnett situation in Minnesota where he was putting up stats. Kevin Garnett was at least going to the first round and then losing. But I hate to see that I want to, he might leave. He'll eventually leave Minnesota, but I want Kevin Love to at least make the playoffs with Minnesota and at least give them something to look forward to. So I personally am rooting for Minnesota to make the playoffs. Having said that, I think Memphis, because of the way they defend and because of the way they can attack you in the post, I think they'll creep up. And, you know, I think Golden State's fine. They are who they are. You know, I don't think that that team is constructed to win four series because I think the jumpers, you live by the jumper, you die by the jumper. I don't know that you can make jumpers in four straight games. So, or four out of seven, but I think they'll make the playoffs. So the question
is
can Phoenix and Dallas hold off Memphis, Denver, and Minnesota? And I think Memphis is the best of those teams, you know, all around, actually. So it really comes out to Denver and Minnesota. Can they catch a Phoenix or a Dallas? It's possible. And the one that's in trouble, you know, I didn't think Dallas would be this good, frankly. You know, Monte Ellis is turning out to be quite a compliment to
remember, I told
Dirk
you about Nowitzki. Them on NBA previous show.
You said it.
Watch out for Monte.
But I would say watch out for Memphis because they defend, because they have a front court, and because Mike Conley, you know, is a solid, solid point guard. He's not a great, you're not going to win a championship with Mike Conley, but he's a solid point guard. They've been there before. They've been in playoff situations, and starting right after the All-Star break. So the All-Star break is about game, 50, 55. So for those next 25 to 30 games, those are like playoff games. And
Memphis some teams make trades.
In those battles before, and I like Memphis out of those teams.
So one thing we got to do, and, you know, we definitely been giving the West a lot of love, we got to go to the East. And we said, you know, we talk about Brooklyn and New York, and they're both starting to win. Brooklyn's actually been hot and doing really well. Charlotte right now has got that 8th seed, though. Brooklyn's got the 7th seed, so Ray might have to rock the jersey. But at 20 and 23, you know, Brooklyn has got the 7th seed. The Knicks are, you know, just a couple games out behind Charlotte at 17 and 27. But you know who we got to give love? And I know you definitely feel the love for them, but last night Toronto and the Seahawks were there watching it. They took care of the Brooklyn Nets. The number 3 seed Toronto Raptors, led by your man, didn't do it last night, but a couple games ago, I'll let you break it down what he did. 23 and 21, and they're still talking about trading Lowry, which I think they shouldn't. This team's doing all right. What did you think about what Terrence Ross did?
Kyle Lowry. So Toronto is an enigma. I tell you what, they had Rudy Gay, and then they got rid of Rudy Gay. And so you got to figure, well, why did you get Rudy Gay? You know exactly who he is, right? Rudy Gay is what we thought he is, you know? There's no debating what Rudy Gay is. You either like his game or you don't. So that was kind of weird to me. But the guy that needs to get love, right? We gave Kyle Lowry love just because he's an all-around dude, right? He is averaging, 16.5, 7.5 assists a game. But the guy that's really, really the heart and soul of that team is DeMar DeRozan. You know, this cat played 1 year at USC and was a dunker, a high flyer, didn't really have a prototypical NBA game. He had NBA athleticism, but not an NBA game. But that backcourt of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, and, of course, in the front court, they've got Valanciunas and Amir Johnson.
Amir Johnson.
And this kid, you know, this kid Terrence Ross, it's funny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You got to give him love. It's 51.
Yeah, no, he was averaging 9 points, and now he's averaging 12 points a game. So that one game brought his scoring average up by 3 points per game. So, look, Terrence Ross was the eighth pick overall, right? So he's not some scrub that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This cat went
and
to
played
Washington.
Very well at Washington. Yeah.
Was a good, yeah, was an excellent college player. So did you expect him to drop 51? No.
Nope.
But I, you know what? Quiet is kept. I like what Toronto's doing. They actually have a team. To me, Toronto is sort of the anti-Sacramento Kings, right? Sacramento Kings have all the high-profile talent coming out of college and supremely gifted and talented players. And Toronto is piecing together, I don't want to say role players, because some of these players are good, are very good. DeMar DeRozan was a top 10 pick.
Right, but it's more of a team. They don't have any
stars.
It's
more of a team. Terrence Ross was a top 10 pick. But right, they don't have stars on their team. They actually have a team they're piecing together. So now, obviously, do I like the talent in Sacramento better? Of course. You put DeMarcus Cousins and Rudy Gay and my man who gets to shine.
My knucklehead team. I love them.
Give him a couple. Yeah, Isaiah Thomas and you know, my guy, Lefty, and he's a little point guard. You know, I love that. And, of course, my boy McLemore, who needs to step it up. But yeah, that team is just supremely talented. But yeah, give Toronto credit. You know, they might win the division. They might mess around and win the division.
They do. Now let me ask you this: have the Knicks turned it around? Obviously, the Nets have. The Nets are, you know, now in the playoffs, 7 seed. They've, you know, won 8 out of their last 10. You know, did a lot of it without Darren Williams, and you know he's back. Sean Livingston got a shot him out. He played extremely well. AK-47, Karolinko's played great. But are the Knicks, I guess we've asked this so often, you know, they're finally on this home streak, you know, eight-game home stand, lost the, what, first three or something,
like
and then won two, and then now they got three more left. So they play Boston tonight, Cleveland Thursday to open up the All-Star Reserves and on TNT, which we'll talk about on Friday before the Super Bowl preview, and then Super Bowl Eve against the Miami Heat. Can the Knicks win the next three, possibly?
No. So let me tell you about the Knicks. The Knicks are my team, and they'll always be my team, but you know what? The Knicks are going to be like this all year. It's going to be like one step forward, two steps back, two steps forward, one step back.
Mm.
I don't think the Knicks will do what Brooklyn did and go 10-1. Just the Knicks are not – first of all, they're too fragile because you can't get a consistent front court out of Amari, Kenyon, and Tyson Chandler. They've been hurt too much this year. Andrea Bargnani has given you what Andrea Bargnani gives you, but now his
right, but he's gone for
he's
a while,
yeah. Too, yeah. And now he got hurt. So the one guy that didn't get hurt now got hurt too. So I think the Knicks, just in the front court injuries, would lead you to believe that they can't consistently put together the same starting lineup and the same team. And you're asking Carmelo to do too much. And by the way, around the trade deadline, there's going to be a lot of hubbub around. And that affected him in Denver as much as he doesn't want to say it, but it affects people. And when the media is always asking you about this stuff, it gets under your skin. It irritates you. So, look, the Knicks may squeak into the playoffs as the 7th or the 8th seed, but I don't think you'll see the Knicks, quote-unquote, turn it around. I think if they do, they'll barely get in with a, you know, way under 500 record, maybe 38, 39 wins, something like that. But the Knicks are just one of those teams where you just hope to get into the playoffs and maybe you win a game or two in the playoffs because I can't say the Knicks have turned it around. I still think they have questions with J.R. Smith. What's his role on the team? What's Raymond Felton? You know, how consistent is Raymond Felton in the backcourt? And then obviously with the front court injuries and then with the pressure on what do you do with Carmelo long term, I think too many questions. And Woody too,
but
right?
Guess who played good, though, on Sunday? From Summer League, Jeremy Tyler. Last two games. I had to get at you. Yo, Ray is always teasing Tay, ladies and gentlemen, about preseason football, summer league basketball. You know, I love it all. Well, let me tell you something. And this year I'm gonna be out in Vegas. I'm going to summer league, okay? And you know, I might have to extend the invitation to Ray, but I will be in Vegas this summer for summer league. But because this is gonna be a great summer league with all these rookies, right? But I'm gonna tell you this: Jeremy Tyler is gonna play some quality minutes.
Yeah, Nick
and he's going to have to play good. And you know what? I think it's okay to have these young, fresh bodies. I'm tired of old rosters and old players. The Knicks had all these old guys last year and this season, and they all break down. Well, guess what? Let Shumpert, let Hardaway Jr., let Jeremy Tyler, Torrey Murray, you know, another Summer League star, let these guys play because they're young and got fresh legs. It's a young man's game. Let them play, baby. Let's go, Knicks. Lace it up.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So tell me about the Nets. Oh, and by the way, what did you think of the Nets going to Boston and Garnett
well,
and Pierce
was,
back home?
Well, that was great. Listen, you know, I'm sure Bill Simmons and all the Celtics fans got a little teary-eyed. I think it was classy. And Boston fans, when they want to, they can be extremely classy. They're knowledgeable like New York fans. And, you know, Pierce was there, what, like 15 years? A Kansas, L.A. guy, you know, Jayhawk and all that stuff. But he really did not want to leave Boston. And I think it was the emotions, you felt it, you know, Rondo playing against them. And, you know, they went ahead and won the game. And what, KG had maybe like 8 points and Pierce had six and the Nets went up there and won. So, you know, kudos to them. It'll be interesting to see if they can the Celtics can give Rondo a contract, or if they wind up moving him. It looks like they're trying to keep him, so that'll be fascinating. But real quick, I want to say this before we got to get to some college hoops. What do you think happens tomorrow night on ESPN when we see LeBron and KD go at it? Do you think you're going to get a little, you know, these guys work out together, friendly competition, or do you think LeBron might try, you know, maybe just make a little statement, say, even though you've been putting up these points, I'm still the MVP? I got a funny feeling LeBron's going to ball out against Durant on Wednesday night on ESPN. I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, he might. He might. You never know, though. They might be trying to pace themselves because I think Miami sort of resigned to the fact that they're going to be the number two seed. So Dwayne Wade is going to come off the bench for the foreseeable
future. He's breaking down.
Just because.
That's a sign to me, Ray. I think I told you this. I think LeBron, he's not staying in Miami. And I don't know, you know, Lala says that Melo's staying in New York. Well, I don't think LeBron is staying in Miami with Dwayne Wade breaking down. You could see Chris Bosh going to the Dallas Mavericks and finishing out, you know, his career there, going back home. And I could see LeBron going either to L.A. or going back to Cleveland.
Wow.
I'm telling you. I really could see it.
Okay. Okay. Well,
Wade
right
can't
now,
play anymore.
The mission at hand is to win that. Is to win that third title. So is LeBron going to give it to Kevin Durant? I don't think so, actually. I think he's going to keep that in his pocket. I think LeBron is saying to himself, you know what? If we meet in June, I still want to have something that you don't know about in my back pocket, even though they work out and they know each other. So I don't know if he'll put it on him like somebody like a Michael Jordan would. I think LeBron's a different kind of tactician, and I think he'll play with his head a little bit, but I don't think he'll reveal all of his cards. I don't think he'll completely go all out and try to put it on Kevin Durant and make a statement. Because Kevin Durant also, remember, doesn't have Westbrook, right? So it's not a full-on, you know, it's not a full Oklahoma City Thunder team that he's playing.
Okay, that's fair. Let's go to college hoops, man. Let's talk about this. You know, obviously we're normally on Mondays. We're on Tuesday. We'll be back on our normal schedule on Friday. Let's talk about this AP Top 25. Obviously, the team I predicted to run the table now is running it, boy, at 20-0. They struggled for a little bit on Sunday against Utah, and then they pulled it out. This week they go to Stanford and what is it, Cal? I think they go to Stanford and Cal this week. Yeah, Stanford and Cal. Arizona's number one. Syracuse at two. Man, Ray, Florida. This is Ray's team. Ray rolls with Billy Donovan. Don't let nobody fool you. He's a Tar Heel fan and St. John's, but Ray likes the Gators. They're number three. Number four, Wichita State, still undefeated, just doesn't have the schedule. Five, San Diego State. I've been talking about them all year, Steve Fisher. Kansas is back at number six, moving up. Michigan State loses to Michigan and is now at number seven. Number eight, Oklahoma State, who just lost a great game last night. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Marcus Smart to the Sooners. And number eight. Number nine, you got Nova, who, you know, lost last week and then last night pulled out a close battle and beat the Hoyas, right? They won that game last night against Georgetown. And then number 10, the Michigan Wolverines go blue Kentucky's right there at 11. What are you thinking? And obviously Louisville at 12. What are you thinking about this top 25, the matchup tonight? We've got two teams going. And what did you think about, obviously, Michigan State, Michigan?
So Michigan State, Michigan is one of those rivalries. Now, Michigan would say that Ohio State's their biggest rival, and Michigan State would say that Michigan's their biggest rival. So Michigan kind of can play both sides of the fence on that, Michigan State. But it's a big deal for both of those teams. And you know what? Good for the Big Ten, right? I thought that was a great game. I thought Michigan State would win. I thought Michigan State is – I think Michigan State, when they get Payne back, apparently he's out for two more games.
And Dawson. Dawson's out like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, he'll be back, right, I guess, in time for a game or two, and then the Big Ten tournament. So this is one of those where, especially Keith Appling and Gary Harris, they lock down that backcourt. So I think Michigan State's fine. I like the fact that Michigan now broke the top 10, right? Good for them.
Mm-hmm. In the Big Ten, Ray, 14 and 15 is Wisconsin and Iowa, you know? Did you know the Big Ten and Big 12 both have 5 teams?
Yeah,
battling
and
for the best
Duke
conference,
and
yeah.
Pitt, two ACC teams
last
played
night.
Each other. That was
what
a,
did you
yeah,
think
that
about that,
game.
the first
I
matchup
gotta get used
with
to
the...
all of these firsts, right?
Weird, right?
Pitt-Duke, Pitt-Syracuse in the ACC.
Yeah.
Like, really? What? This is just... I don't know.
Well, we'll talk about that on Friday real fast, but Syracuse-Duke, I got to tell you, this might be the end of Syracuse's streak because Duke is waking up. And I was telling this again to my 14-year-old. He loves Duke. I said to him, I said, you know what, buddy? If, you know, obviously Hood from Mississippi State transfer and Jabari Parker are the studs. But if Dawkins, Jefferson, and Suleiman could play, Duke has got the potential to win it all. Because when Parker gets more aggressive, he had, 21 and 11 last night. When he gets more aggressive, he's dominating. He's a stud, and so is Hood. So you need Jefferson inside, a little bit of Mason Plumlee, but Dawkins and Suleiman, if they can shoot and score, watch out for Duke, man, and Coach K, right?
Yeah. You know, Duke's another one of those interesting teams where this is not a typical Duke season, right? They don't play the D that they usually play. So I'm sure that Mike Krzyzewski's pulling his hair out and saying, I got a small team that doesn't really play D. And you're thinking, well, if I got a small team, they better defend.
So right. Playing better defense the last 2-3 games, though. Give them some credit for that.
That's true. But,
a little bit.
It'll be fun to see, and like Seth Davis says, I can't wait to turn the corner on January, get into February.
Ah, great season.
Start talking about college hoops more and more. And you know what? Good for Wichita State and San Diego State. I'd love to go back in the AP Top 25 and see when the last time two mid-majors or non-whatever they're calling them now, not BCS, but let's call it BCS conference teams, were in the top 5, right?
Yeah.
Two of the top 5 are non-big conference teams. Now, there used to be independents back in the days, like Notre Dame was an independent. And whatever. But when was the last time these quote-unquote smaller mid-major schools, whatever you want to call them, were two in the top 5? That's pretty, that's pretty impressive.
And both with great coaches. Great coaches, too, both of them. You know,
by the way, I got to throw this out there. So I went to a business event last night, a networking event, and this guy got his PhD. He said, I got my PhD in the Midwest. And I said, all right, where'd you go? He said, in Kansas. And I said, okay. I said, I know Kansas. And then he said, it was a school in Kansas. I said, okay, well, try me. He said, well, it was in Wichita. I was like, well, you know, maybe Wichita State? He's like, yeah. I said, the Shockers? He said, yeah, how did you know? I said, this is Ray and Tay you're talking to.
He's like, of course I know, homie.
The Wichita State Shockers. I was going to pull out Xavier McDaniel's business card. No, that would have been crazy.
The fans don't know. Hey, you know what? Two things that Ray and Tay will tell you. You guys want to know about players. You want to look up some guys. Go check out the YouTube video of Wayman Tisdale and Xavier McDaniel. Go look up and research their stats, young ladies and gentlemen that listen to our show. Those were some ballers. Oh, gosh.
So
and by
if,
the way,
and
with
once,
Melo
yeah.
getting – no, I just got to say, by the way, with Melo getting that record, you know, and it's no longer Kobe's, and we mentioned that on the other show, but we got to shout out the Ernie and Bernie show in college – Ernie Grunfeld and Bernard King at Tennessee. Go check that out, too. I just had to say that.
By the way, that's one of the 30 for 30s that I have not seen, but I really want to see it because they didn't promote it that much. I guess because they don't have national recognition
basketball.
They did the Ernie and Bernie show. They did a 30 for 30 with the Ernie and Bernie show, how they went to Tennessee together and then eventually hooked up again in New York.
I'm going to have to check out the DVD. My wife, Alana, got me that for Christmas, so I got to get around, open it up, and check that out, you know?
Oh, yeah. 30 for 30, the Ernie and Bernie show.
So going back to this top 25, you know, we're still talking college hoops. Those are some guys and legends you got to look up. Also check out Johnny Dawkins, Ray's favorite player of all time, Johnny Dawkins and Walter Berry. I think Ray can name his first son on the low, if his wife Erica would allow him, he could name him Walter Johnny Rayside. The two favorite. Yo, I'm telling you, yo, Ray loves him. So Walter Berry and Johnny Dawkins.
And you know what? In some ways, I love them more because they were not Michael Jordan in the NBA.
Yes,
really,
exactly.
They were not the best ever in the NBA. They were one of the best in college, you know.
But
those guys, lefties, and they were unique, and they were, you know, that day and age when you were skinny and silky and talented. Oh, man, those are my guys.
They were amazing. So let me ask you this, right? Everybody's talking about all these great freshmen. What's going on with someone like, we know what Dougie McDermott is doing, but what's going on with Marcus Smart, who's great on a great team in Oklahoma State, you know, in the top 25, Big 12? Tell us what's been going on with him this season. I mean, obviously he's still going to be a lottery pick, and he seemed to be struggling the last couple of games. What are your thoughts about the loss last night to Oklahoma and what's going on with Marcus Smart?
Well, it's funny because his star, I don't want to say his star has fallen, but with the kid from Australia coming, declaring for the draft, that Marcus Smart is, you know, declining a little bit in people's eyes. He had a pretty tough week. So on Saturday they won, but he fouled out and only had 6 points. I think it was all free throws. And he had a horrible shooting game. And even yesterday they lost. He scored 22, but on, I think it was 6 for 18 shooting. So he's had a couple bad games, which, you know what, I like. I like the fact that you stay in college and have some adversity and have some bad games. But look, this kid is still the real deal. You want to see him shoot a little better. He's only shooting 43% from the field. So that's a little disturbing, you know, at the college level to only be shooting 43% from the field. But he's still, you know, a mini Oscar Robertson type, you know, scores, rebounds, assists. he's still, you know, a top-notch NBA prospect. He'll be a top 10 pick in the draft. But I really, really respect the fact that he could have been top five. It's arguable and it's conceivable that he'll be drafted lower this year than he would have been last year, but he's a better
player. Great point. And nothing's wrong if your family – look, Ray and Tay, we would never try to take money from these kids or say don't go get the money because that's, you know, capitalism, it's your right, you know, all that stuff. But – if you can stay and develop and become a man, there's a big difference when you come into the NBA and you're 19 and 20 and still don't have your grown man weight and you're skinny, going up against men who've got families and kids and are like from 27 to 32 years old. Those are big guys. Like, you know, you play against a big old Carl Landry or Kendrick Peterson, you know, Kendrick Perkins, they're men. You know what I mean? So I think Marcus Smart, who has been compared to a Dwayne Wade, a Mitch Richmond, he's getting a little bit more, working on his jumper, his handle. He'll probably in NBA be a two, but, you know, is working on his handle to even be a point. LeBron Nash is looking good over there, the kid Williams. I think Marcus Smart will be a better pro because of this season. I really do. Hey, let me ask you this. Creighton and St. John's plays, I think, Creighton tonight, and we've got to shout out St. John's, who's won, I believe it's three in a row in the Big East, Ray. You know my heart gets warm for St. John's if they could ever get back and make the tournament. But does Doug McDermott, does he play in the NBA? Can he be not a starter, but because I mean I don't know what his limitations are per se, but can he play in the next level?
Well, we've seen that if you can shoot and you're tall, so in other words, you can, especially now that teams play zone, that
right.
There's got to be a place in the NBA for you, right? So
JJ Redick there. But Adam Morrison.
Yeah,
didn't
well,
make
JJ Redick's so special though. I mean, he was okay. Until Tyler Hansbrough broke his record, he was the all-time leading scorer in the ACC. I mean, that's a guy that's you know, can create a little bit off the dribble, can shoot
right.
Threes like nobody's business.
Having a great season this season, yeah.
Yeah, too bad he got hurt, but he's back. So
yeah.
I gotta believe that. You know, what is he, 6'8"? Doug McDermott,
yeah.
He's not a small kid. He's not, you know, 6'8", 200. He's 6'8", 220, 230. Doug McDermott's got a body of an NBA player. He's got to make an NBA roster. I mean, he might get frustrated in the number of minutes that he gets, but I got to
mm-hmm.
believe that this guy is a valuable player on an NBA roster. And by the way, he's averaging 7 rebounds a game, so it's not like he's not doing anything. It's not like he's just standing out by the three-point line and just shooting. So he can create a little bit. I don't think he's an Adam Morrison where he's just some, you know, guy that plays kind of.
He's more skilled, basically, you're saying.
He's more skilled. He's bigger. I think he's the son of a coach. He stayed four
Damn.
Years. I got to believe that he'll make an NBA roster, and he'll be a seventh, eighth man on an NBA roster and maybe a spot starter. I think he can be – you know who he could be? He's not – you know, he wasn't particularly athletic, but maybe he's like a junior version of a Dale Ellis. Or somebody like that. Dale is probably a better shooter,
okay.
More pure shooter. But
Dale
he
Ellis
wasn't
was
the most
pure,
athletic
yeah.
guy. He was just
no, he
tall
wasn't.
And he could shoot. You know, maybe Dennis Scott was more
Sonic.
Pure shooter.
The
but
Seattle fans
guy.
That will listen to the show, their hearts will be warmed by you referencing Dale Ellis and Xavier McDaniel on one show. I know Michael Powers, who's, you know, probably listening, you know, we played his music and he was on our show, jazz musician, MichaelPowersMusic.com and big Seahawks fan. Oh, man, I'm sure, you know, he remembers Dale Ellis and Xavier. So all the Seahawks and Seattle fans are man, you got to love Seattle sports scene, right? And if they need a basketball team. They got
Yeah, they need one. The
team.
Problem is where do they get one? Unless the NBA expands and goes to 32 – where does
Which
Seattle get their team
I
from?
Think there's a lot of talent, Ray. Let me ask you this. We talked about that one time, and we were talking about other cities. One that I didn't think of that's a great sports city for hockey and football, what about Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? Couldn't you see them having a great following and a great cozy sort of Sacramento-esque feeling of an NBA city?
But
I can see Pittsburgh balling out.
No, I think Pittsburgh – I love Pittsburgh, and, you know, I spent good years in Pittsburgh. I don't think Pittsburgh's big enough, and they don't have the tradition. Because, remember, Cleveland's an hour and a half away, right? So you're not going to get fans coming from Ohio. In fact, we used to drive from Pittsburgh to Cleveland to go see the Cavs and you know, the Nets and Kenny Anderson and the Knicks when they came across. So –
I remember
I
you told me about seeing Ron Harper.
I hear what
Harper
you're saying, but it's too – I think
okay,
it's too small of a city. I think the NBA has always flirted with Las Vegas, and maybe that's the other team besides Seattle. But remember, because you said Sacramento, so that's a very good point, but remember that up until Kevin Johnson's, you know, coup, Sacramento was supposed to leave. The Maloofs wanted to take Sacramento away, you know, the Kings away from Sacramento.
To Seattle
Sacramento
or Vegas, yeah.
Had a hard time keeping the Kings.
Right.
So I don't know who that
good fan base,
first,
though. Yeah.
Great fan base. So the question is, though, you need a great fan base, you need corporate money, because nowadays it's all about the corporate money and the boxes and so forth. So
maybe in Iowa,
that?
Yeah.
Who's that 32nd team? Let's say Seattle's the 31st team. Let's say Sacramento
right.
stays in Sacramento. Who's that 32nd team? Who's that 32nd city that the NBA needs?
No, you're right.
You know,
right.
Vegas.
So, no, you're right. Let me ask you this before we wrap up tonight. Michigan State bounce back? Do they win a tough road game in the Big Ten and win number 7 and number 15, Iowa? That's going to be
yes.
a battle, Ray.
I think so.
Yeah,
it'll
do.
Be a battle. I think it'll be a close game. But I like Michigan State on the bounce back tonight.
And Kentucky.
Even though they're on the road,
they're,
right?
They're
games.
Right.
I mean, Iowa City's not an easy place to play.
And can Kentucky... And, you know, the SEC is having a down year. Might only get 3 teams in a tournament. Can they win strong on the road?
Can they win on the road in Baton Rouge?
Yeah. Baton Rouge.
I think so. I think Kentucky is, again, an up-and-down team. They don't consistently defend like Calipari wants, but I just think
right.
they have too much talent. They'll win tonight.
They're getting better, though. I think Kentucky, Kansas, those are teams you've got to watch out for as we get to the tournament. Those teams are... Those young boys are going to start to, you know, you get 25 games in, you start to not become, you know, freshmen. You start to become more sophomores and really get ready for the, you know, the college season and the tournament. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. This media day is over. I'm ready. Man, I wish we were playing in the game, but I'm ready for Seahawks Broncos. It's great for us, right? We're not – you know, big-time fans of either the teams, so we could just root for a great game, which I think we're going to get on Super Bowl Sunday. I think it's going to be – could be one of those classics. I think we could be surprised
yeah.
with a really great Super Bowl.
We've got 3 more days to hype it up. Come back and join us. Great show. Come back and join us on Friday with George Reister, ex-NFL tight end for the Jaguars, also an Oregon Duck. We need to look at the roster, see if there's any prominent Oregon Ducks. I can't think of any offhand on either team. But we'll do our research. But 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific on Friday, we'll get into our
yeah.
Super Bowl preview. Ray and Tay, put it on the line. We'll tell you who will win. I'll tell you
yep,
who will be
and
my
we'll talk about the
MVP.
That's right. We'll have to talk about the NFL honors and the awards. We'll predict some of those awards, comeback player, rookie of the year, coach, all that stuff. We'll do that. We'll talk a little bit about who potentially might get in the Hall of Fame, and we will definitely start off the show because everybody and their mama is going to be talking about it. Who made the NBA All-Star reserves? I'm telling you, Aldridge, you know, I hope Monte Ellis can get in. Damian Lillard's going to make it. Be interesting if our boy from Brooklyn,
Lance Stevenson
for the Pacers. Yeah, that's the guy, Ray. So great show, man. We'll be back on Friday, and thank you everybody for listening.
Yeah, we're out, so we're talking sports with friends. We'll pick
sports
it up on
friends.
Friday.
Peace. Have a good one. Go Knicks tonight. Beat the Celtics, baby. Yeah.